Okay, hello everyone. Happy Tuesday. This is George Webb here in Pittsburgh. And Tuesday is, of course, a day where we do the Duke Report. So we'll have in-depth graphics later for you this afternoon. And there may be a surprise visit on a show earlier than that today. So we're getting out to the various other channels and so forth and getting the word out. But this title today is going to be The Plot Darkens. The Plot Darkens here in Pittsburgh with the Trump murder conspiracy. And I know that conspiracy word is thrown around a lot, but this case here is, there's no question of conspiracy. There's been a lot of really great metadata and acoustic analysis, just on acoustic analysis alone. Martinsburg, I think is the guy's name. I can't remember, Chris Martinsburg potentially, but several other acoustic experts have said the first shot was definitely a gun, you know, one, two, three. Those first shots came from one gun, and then four, five, six, seven, eight, nine shots, depending on one particular shot in the middle, were definitely a second gun. And then finally a tenth shot, which was the sniper being taken out with one bullet. We had confirmation that that last shot was a Secret Service sniper taking out the shooters. So two shooters for sure. If you go by the forensic evidence of the double Dutch bust, the double Dutch bust is the two Dutchmen that are wounded. Some people say that it's a German name. So, okay, for the second victim, but David Dutch is the first victim. If you line that up, it's also a second shooter. So we have the visual evidence, we have the forensic evidence, we have the acoustic evidence of two shooters. So two shooters means a conspiracy, sorry. Two people don't coincidentally decide to shoot the president on the same day at the same time without some communication between them. So we know there's a conspiracy. So now we have to figure out all these lapses. We have to look at the testimony from yesterday from Director Cheadle. We have to look at all these lapses. How could this possibly happen? We have to look at the FBI stonewalling and destroying evidence as well. So we have to look at the connections between this new special agent in charge that came here last month in Pittsburgh. You saw me at the FBI building three different times yesterday. This guy who came in, Rojek, who chillingly, R-O-J-E-K, who chillingly talked about grooming teenagers at home. Huh, wow. The very chilling foreboding and foretelling there with Rojek, the special agent in charge, talking about chillingly grooming teenagers at home. Wow. Was there a little bit of premonition there or not? A little bit of foreshadowing? Wow. So we have Rojek's foreshadowing of grooming at grooming teenagers at home. And then we have the Cheadle testimony yesterday. And of course, what broke yesterday was the incredible connections between Director Kimberly Cheadle and Dick Cheney. She was with Dick Cheney on 9/11. She was the person who, with the Secret Service, was in charge at the White House. She was able to serve with him when he served as president of the United States for a very short period of time when continuity of government was thrown in. You may remember I went and interviewed with Dan Hopsicker. We talked about an assassination plot in Longboat Key the morning of the 9/11 assassination when he was put on the plane from Florida to Offutt Air Force Base in Nebraska. That period of time when the president was out of pocket, Dick Cheney actually wrote, and you can read about this in a book called, all of a sudden I'm forgetting the name of the Maryland base, but Dick Cheney became the president of the United States in the Oval Office during 9/11. And those were the key moments. And it only took a few moments for him to sign away the bioweapons convention, saying that we would no longer develop bioweapons from Richard Nixon, that we would no longer do gain of function. Those were stricken based on the evidence that he got from Flight 93 and the potential use of anthrax in Flight 93, again here in Pittsburgh. So Kimberly Cheadle was a part of all that. And Special Agent in Charge Rojek also was in charge of the follow-up of 9/11. That's when he was brought into the FBI, and he was involved with special forces in Afghanistan during the 9/11 period of time. So is this a coming together of the old conspirators, the 9/11 conspirators, just for a return trip to wipe out the potential person who would dig those bones up? Is this just basically the investigator with Trump, you know, digging up the bones, the 9/11 bones in the garden, and now you take out candidate Trump? Is that really what's going on here? And there's strong evidence now that seems to be the looming conspiracy, the darkening conspiracy, the gathering clouds here. It seems to be a great deal of state sponsorship, and the crooks' involvement or other snipers and accomplices almost seem to be taking a backstage now to this darker Cheney conspiracy. You've had Cheney talk about the assassination of Donald Trump, the elimination of Donald Trump. Of course, you had Joe Biden talking about putting a bullseye on Trump a couple of days before the Trump assassination. But by far and away, the key release was Senator Johnson's release of the preliminary report called the Oversight Project to members of Congress the morning of Kimberly Cheadle's testimony yesterday. We find out some very chilling metadata information from the crooks' devices. It either could be crooks' devices or it could be the crooks' accomplice. But there are 19 key locations that are outlined by Senator Johnson's disclosures that were given to all the folks that were asking questions yesterday. And of course, Kimberly Cheadle had several requests yesterday that she stonewalled about, all the communications from the Secret Service text messages, the Secret Service emails, and the Secret Service radio messages all were stonewalled yesterday. She had to be subpoenaed, and she stonewalled on all the communications, messages, and memos from that. But the key point here is the Trump rally in Butler, Pennsylvania, where you saw us all last week, wasn't approved by the Secret Service until July 7th. Yet somehow, either crooks or the crooks' accomplice from the metadata is in Butler at the Home Depot, right? But they're in Butler on July 4th. 3 days before, so no public knowledge, no public announcement had been made about the Butler rally, and somehow crooks or the crook's accomplice knows about it. Furthermore, there's another trip on July 8th to Butler, okay, only one day after the announcement, only one day after the Secret Service approves the plan, and then there's a trip to the Home Depot, which means they're procuring the ladder. This, again, is not my reporting. This is CNN's reporting that they're procuring the 5-foot ladder at the Butler Home Depot, which means they've already cased the assassination site. They've already, he's droning the assassination site. He's already seeing the most opportune place to climb the building, the advanced glass research building. How does someone, a 20-year-old who shouldn't be there, how I can understand him surreptitiously casing the location, but I can't understand him then returning and buying a 5-foot ladder, getting that close to buy a 5-foot ladder, and then somehow storing that ladder on site. If you don't store the ladder there on site, then you don't have another, we lose all communication of the devices. Again, very suspiciously, this on the 12th, on July 12th, you know, before one day before the assassination. Now, again, that seems like someone's wiping the record clean, right? So that they can't be traced. So none of that metadata can be traced. That's why this metadata is important, because when somebody destroys it the day before they're about ready to commit a murder, it looks like they're trying to take the metadata associated with the places they went to and then destroy that metadata. When the phone goes away and the tablets go away and the laptops or whatever is emanating these messages, when it goes away the day before the murder, from the murder's devices, it seems like someone's trying to destroy the evidence. And so that's why we're focusing in on those 19 key locations. And of course, you saw me at many of those locations. We had already visited several of the locations. We had visited the home, for instance, of the Crooks. We went by the home of Crooks and got a closer look yesterday, where I went right by the house yesterday. You saw me go right by the house. You saw me walk the distance. And again, this is important to know if a crime can be completed on foot or by bicycle or by motorcycle versus having to drive. You know, these are important things. And I was able to easily walk down the hill from Crooks' location to two of the other locations, which come up in the 19 locations Senator Johnson released. And those are the laundromat location on the way to the Allegheny Gun Club. And then the other location is the karate shop location. Now, again, those are right on the footpath from Crooks' house, an easy walk down the hill to the Allegheny Gun. And we know Allegheny Gun only has one hit in August of 2023. Now, I want to explain it. I did this business for a while, so this geolocation ad pops is what it's called, or popping up ads with geolocation. People are saying this has got to be an accomplice phone because there's so few hits at Crooks' home and there's so few hits at Crooks' place of work. Therefore, it's someone visiting Crooks where these ad hits are happening, and it's somebody visiting Crooks' place of business. What I'm saying is you can have a phone which geolocates ads, which is your own phone. It could just be how you've got your settings. It could be just how he was walking in the neighborhood that he actually, I went into the karate shop. We talked to the owners, talked to several people that had been there during the period of time when he was supposed to be at the karate place last year. They said absolutely he was not here. They knew his face. I talked to five or six people. They said he was not here. And went to the laundromat as well and waited around for the proprietor for a long period of time. No proprietor ever showed. I guess if I would have tried to steal something, they probably would have come out of the woodwork, but I didn't. But again, it could have been that those ad pops happened to the phone just by Crooks walking to Allegheny Gun, right? Or, as some people have mentioned, it could be the surefire, since Crooks had a washing machine, presumably, and a dryer in his home. It could be, potentially someone who's in a visitor or an accomplice doing their dry cleaning there, because there is two pops on the phone over a period of 2 months. And I believe that's last year as well. So again, we have to look at the metadata. Again, this is where the communications and the accounts of Crooks came up yesterday in the testimony of Cheadle. Discord was one of the services that was mentioned, and the Discord messages that the encrypted messages that Crooks had were requested by the congresswoman and congressmen, and that those were denied. Of course, this is important because it establishes context for someone's trip somewhere, especially there's two trips that stand out in this pattern of 19 things that Senator Johnson put out yesterday in the Oversight Project. One is a flight to Boston, Massachusetts earlier this year on March 1st, right around the time I was in Boston. And so anyway, never mind. I was there for several trials, as you know, and then also following up on our good friend, with the Pfizer org chart, our good friend with James O'Keefe fighting over the laptop. So it's just reminiscent of that time for me. But March 1st of this year to March 3rd, and whoever it is stays in a fairly fancy hotel. The meeting is at a fairly fancy hotel. The 1260 Plymouth Hotel is a very upscale hotel. It's where kind of, business meetings and events have occurred. I didn't see any big event or any big concert or any, hockey game or anything. There's nothing like that. It's mostly a historical town. Of course, the Mayflower thing there every year with Thanksgiving. you know, it's a very maritime town, so you seem to have a reason to go there. Is it an out-of-the-way clandestine spot for Secret Service and a Secret Service sniper and an FBI agent all to get together and say, "Hey, we need a patsy here, guys. We got it. We got this whole thing set up with Trump, but we got to figure out a location. We got to figure out a patsy." So, you know, one of us has to come up with a location. Rojek, you're going to Pittsburgh. You know, you got to figure out a location near Pittsburgh. And I'm the director of Secret Service, and I got a sniper, right? But I don't want my Secret Service sniper being called on the carpet to Congress. We need a patsy. So is that the patsy meeting where they decide, okay, this again, do they call crooks there under the auspices of some other reason to all get a look at crooks and all sign off on crooks as the patsy? We don't know. We don't have enough background at this point with the metadata. But then there's another meeting that's even more startling, if you will, which is Crooks' trip on the 26th in 2023 to Washington, D.C. itself. And again, we don't have any flight information to Reagan Airport, so it looks like they may have driven. Again, as a 19-year-old going there, yeah, you could be going to Washington to visit the monuments, but it goes, his metadata goes directly to the Secret Service headquarters, which again is unsettling because it seems like it's maybe an accomplice who is going there and saying, "Okay, we're going to have to kill Trump. Trump's looking pretty good. What are we going to do? How are we going to take out Trump? Cheney wants Trump dead. We better start planning this. You know, we got to start looking at opportunities for doing this," right? I'm not saying that's what happened. I'm just saying that there is this meeting with the crooks' devices. Now, these are up to nine different devices. There's nine different IP addresses, which is also very unusual to have that many IP addresses. You think of your phone, your iPhone is one IP address. You think of your laptop as another. Now, there's something called an ADD IP address, which is a specific IP address given to your phone through a different ad agency. So, if I remember, there was maybe five or six different ad suppliers. And basically what websites do that develop content is they say, "Well, we'll go get an ad network." And the ad network will decide what ads to pop in, you know, those annoying ads that you constantly see. You can't even read two paragraphs of a story where there's 15 ads. Those are supplied by third-party ad suppliers. So, and I need to confirm this, it could be ad IPs rather than just IP addresses. So it's not nine total devices. It could be nine ad IDs for one phone. And given the nature of the travel and the various locations, it's very difficult to believe that Crooks would be walking down from his house to the Allegheny Gun Club with his laptop, right? I mean, it's just, I did it yesterday. I guess it's possible. I guess it's possible that you'd have an iPad, right, with a cell phone line, but probably it's his cell phone. At the end of the day, it's probably Crooks walking with his cell phone. Or, like I say, it's the possibility here of the accomplice. We do find the ad IPs at Crooks's place of work, which is the elderly care home, which is close by Crooks's house. I walked by it as well. And we do find it at the Allegheny Gun Club, but for only one ad pop, which is interesting in August of 2023. But again, this puts the pressure on Cheadle saying, "Hey, here are independent third-party individuals who are providing information about whereabouts and on these unusual trips that seem to lend themselves to the idea of conspiracy," right? We have the shooting data, the acoustic data that seems to lend itself to the idea of a conspiracy. We have the visual evidence, the forensic evidence, of the two people that are the two Dutchmen that are wounded that talk about, you know, a different shooter. Why aren't you guys investigating that? Why are you guys just saying it's a pat case? It's a patsy pat case, right? Sort of like Lee Harvey Oswald. You know, there's no Robert Allen Hale here. There's no IB Hale. There's no second shooter. There's no back and to the right. This is just you know, Oswald. Why is the FBI, where I was down there yesterday at the federal building with Special Agent Charge Rojack, why isn't he saying, hey, this is great evidence. This is great evidence of a second shooter. We need to find the second shooter here. We need to analyze all the places where Crooks was, and we need to start developing out a list of second shooters, right? This is potentially a conspiracy to kill the president that still might exist. The accomplice still might be on the loose. The accomplice still could be trying to recruit other snipers here. The threat has not been neutralized at all. As a matter of fact, the snipers probably learned a lot through the process of all the hearings and so forth, and learned how easy it is to get close to the president. So Rojack's behavior here is, and again, I don't like to just be a couple of blocks away. I like to go to the guy's office and point to the guy's office and then make my claims and challenges. I don't like doing it where they can't see me on the street, and I like going often. I like going two or three times a day and pointing to the office over and over and over, pointing to the office saying, why are you looking into the second shooter, right? It's not good enough to be in the same city and say, well, you know, I'm over here at Starbucks, and I just wanted to say this is kind of odd that Rojack's not doing his job. No, I want to go right over to his office and point directly to his office three or four times a day. Eventually, other reporters will get the idea, and they'll go, hey, Rojack's in there. Rojack's stonewalling. Rojack's not coming out and giving us daily briefings. Rojack's put a gag order. Oh, hey, this is something I should report about. And sometimes it's just each one teach one. Sometimes it's just like the old dog teaching the new dog the tricks. And that's what I'm doing when I'm going down there. And the same thing with Curran, who is the special agent in charge, who was the Secret Service special agent in charge for Outen Butler, Curran. I misreported it, Kern, because the person who reported originally made a mistake, and she corrected herself, so I'm correcting her. Sean Curran looks like the person, Curran, who was in charge, the special agent in charge, as out at the Secret Service. Now, this Congress has moved into, yesterday you saw, they were so frustrated with Director Cheadle's testimony that they even made a motion for perjury charges. Perjury charges would be, you know, for a federal employee, 5 to potentially 20 years in prison. Again, I do not want to fire Secretary Cheadle Director Cheadle, because then she will have to, as a private citizen, she could just take the Fifth Amendment. As a government employee, she's forced to testify. So I would rather have perjury charges against Director Cheadle, so that, and then her position to force her testimony, so that we can get to the bottom of the conspiracy. Again, this looks like it's going to go directly to Dick Cheney. This looks like it's going to go directly to the highest levels of the same people who perpetrated all the other major false flag events since 9/11 and potentially before. So we really have to kind of hone in. If we want to go to the top of the conspiracy, we got to keep the people in play who can potentially testify in turn in the investigation. So that's going to be important. The metadata as it exists, I haven't been to Plymouth yet, so I can't speak to the Plymouth. I have been to Washington, and I walked that for 5 years. I've walked those pathways every day, so I'm very familiar with the June 26, 2023, the Stanley Cup was just ending. I thought it might have been the Stanley Cup with the Washington Capitals there, but then that had ended, and I can't remember which team won now, but anyway, it was already over with. So I thought there might be some sporting event the kid was going to, but there really wasn't. It still could be that he just went to a concert in Washington, D.C. It's a long way to go for a concert. So it does look like a conspiracy meeting. The Plymouth meeting does kind of have the appearance of a conspiracy meeting. This is where our congressional investigators have to follow up. They must subpoena Rojack here in Pittsburgh. They must subpoena Curran. Part of the idea of pointing at their offices from the street level every day is to also educate the public that these are the people that need to be subpoenaed. It's not good enough to just subpoena one person and have a show and have your 2-minute moment of beating up on the director of the Secret Service, right? That's not good enough. That doesn't get you anywhere in terms of investigation. It might get you votes, might get you contributions, right? But it doesn't get you to the meat of the nub of the issue, if you will, to the center of the conspiracy. You have to bring in the different people to do the testimony, and then their overlapping testimonies and inconsistencies is where you work, right, for the investigation, right? And that's what needs to happen. And all of those questions, like the Discord logs, and of course, there's three different encrypted accounts telling the American people, what are the encrypted accounts that this person has? We know that one of the operatives, potentially Secret Service person operating as an Antifa operative by the name of Maxwell Yurick, we know that he had Solana encrypted accounts for transferring of money from Geneva. That's, again, a telltale. If Crooks has three international accounts, Discord is a U.S.-based company, to my last recollection. So if he has three international-based accounts, those are probably Geneva-based or Malta-based or U.S. Virgin Island-based crypto accounts. And that's how funding it takes place surreptitiously. Again, why wouldn't Rojek make that announcement? Why wouldn't did we hide, for instance, if from the Paradise Papers? Did we hide Roberta Benassi was in the head of several shell companies from the Paradise Papers? No, we didn't hide it from the American people. We told the American people about it, right? This is why Rojek, there's nothing to protect here. The shooter is dead. The only thing you could be protecting at this point by withholding that evidence is you're protecting the accomplices. You're protecting the accomplices. There's no reason why we shouldn't say all of his encrypted blockchain accounts and all of his encrypted chat accounts, the Discord chat or the Signal chat or whatever. We learned yesterday that separate encrypted communication was being used by Secretary Cheadle with the First Lady, Jill Biden. Jill Biden has now been outed or it's been reported that Jill Biden is the key person that was responsible for putting Cheadle in as from a Secret Service person into the directorship position. She served a nominal period of time as an executive in security at Pepsi in order to have the chops, if you will, to be promoted. But clearly, it seems like this is a promotion as a matter of conspiracy rather than a matter of qualifications. And Jill Biden's connection and Jill Biden's late stage visit, which was scheduled almost immediately after the Donald Trump Butler event, again, smacks of coincidence and conspiracy that, hey, we need to have some sort of onus or predicate to get our people, our team there at the same time in Pittsburgh as Trump. She lands at 4 o'clock. Trump lands at 4 o'clock. This concomitant, coincidence of arrivals only seems to be something that you could predict if you had inside knowledge. Things before they were public. Again, the shooter, Crooks, has knowledge on July 4th and is in Butler on July 4th before the FBI, before the Secret Service even approves the Trump rally. That's probably the most damning information of all. And Jill Biden makes her scheduled visit right after Trump makes the visit. Again, exact same timing. There's two motorcades, 10 of her police officers from her motorcade, the Pittsburgh motorcade contingent, go to the Trump, jump in on the Trump motorcade. Four of the officers are injured. Again, the police chief here still hasn't released the names of the four people that are injured, even though we've been over to walk by the police again yesterday, went in, tried to talk to the public information officer, no information about who the four officers injured. Why? Because it'll tell us who was in the 10-person motorcycle motorcade and who the four were that were in the wounded by the Dutchman. And then the obvious next shoe to drop. And the next question to ask there is, well, what were the other six doing? Where were the other six? If Jill Biden is the one who is the sponsor of the main conspirator, and Jill Biden is the provider of the 10 police that then interdict the Trump motorcade, and those 10 police are now, the Biden police are now on site, and four of them are wounded and make a fast exit into a blurry haze that's created from the hydraulic fluid spraying all over everywhere. Where are the other six? It's just a natural question to ask. Where are the other six from the Biden motorcade? So again, those questions were dodged yesterday by Director Cheadle in the testimony. So we're going to follow up on all these things. We have 19 locations to go for. Every time you go someplace, now that you have a famous photograph, you can ask the questions and show people it's old gumshoe detective work, but you walk up and you go, hey, Senator, this is what I did yesterday. Senator Johnson published 19 locations yesterday in Congress, or today in Congress is what I said yesterday, today in Congress, and your location was one of them. Were you aware of that? Pause. What? Well, Senator Johnson, he's a senator in the United States Senate, and he put out a list of 19 locations where the shooter was known to have been, or the shooter's accomplice was known to have been, and your location is one of them. Were you aware of that? What? You know, you got to go through that whole disbelief stage. But then once they're convinced, you know, the shooter, the guy who tried to kill Trump. Really? What? No. You know, and that was, show me. Here's picture one. You know, no, he's never been here. I would know that. Here's picture two. Here's Urich. No, he's never been here. Or, that guy looks familiar. It's old gum school journalism, and somebody's got to do it. Somebody has to burn the shoe leather and go show people these pictures. It's 101 private investigative work. It's not rocket surgery. You just got to go do it. You just got to pound the pavement and go do it. Okay, well, that's, I wrote a Substack, of course. You always have to write a Substack to show all the receipts. It's out there. It's public. I wrote another one for my private Substack, or my paid Substack. I encourage people, even if I am putting these things out for the public good, that they do might want to buy all my books and all my current research for $8 a month on my Substack. That's georgewebb.substack.com. Okay. Oh, I see John here has a request. So I'll give the great McDuff a microphone here. John Stowe's FBI agent and then Joint Chiefs of Staff for Kennedy. Go ahead, John. How are you?
Oh, hey, George. Just when you mentioned the Cheadle having been a executive of security for Pepsi, just bells went off. As of course you remember where Nixon was, where George H.W. Bush In the JFK, there was a Pepsi convention in Dallas at the time of the JFK killing. And, you know, it's a very suspicious thing to think that, you know, Pepsi's been involved in these things for so long. We've heard all kinds of stuff about Pepsi having, you know, secret drug labs in their facilities. But more importantly, it was the sugar industry that Pepsi relied upon for the sugar from Cuba that was a major motivator to try to reverse the Castro revolution. So I just think that that just opens another door to look into is how deep are the Pepsi people with Dick Cheney? And how deep does this go? So I couldn't help but just raise the issue. And thanks for your reporting, George.
Yeah, John, you could buy John's book about McDuff Lives on Amazon. It's a great book. And just really learn about one of the warriors who was involved in investigating both Ruby and Oswald. And they shut him down. He paid for it with his life. John's father worked for Hoover for many years, worked for the Kennedy White House. I think he is the guy who ratted out Lansdale. Not ratted out Lansdale. If you're trying to kill the president and you expose the plot, I think that's probably pretty patriotic actions. But I think he is going to be the guy when we're all said and done here. So he's a key man in U.S. history. Worked for MacArthur on the going up the Yangtze and in World War II. On the battleship Nashville, that's the USS Nashville, right? And so, I mean, I think it's really great to have people who have, you know, various angles, and historians and so forth, and who are in the Washington, D.C. area. And that's just one of the many folks that contribute to our network. So it's a network of the informed, it's a network of the dedicated, and it's a network of the people with, you know, surprisingly high connections throughout history that are a part of our research network. And we encourage everybody to get to know them. I mean, just little facts like that. I did remember that Pepsi was, I do remember it was the Pepsi connection. And a lot of the, I have another follower in Dallas, not a follower, really a contributor. Everybody's a contributor. But he, his father was involved in the founding of the Dallas Petroleum Club. And of course, the Dallas Petroleum Club is the group that the CIA tries to approach and say, hey, would you mind funding the overthrow in Cuba? First, the overthrow of Batista, and then the subsequent overthrows or potential overthrows and drug running in Cuba for Castro, right? So, and they were also the ones that they wanted to encourage the oil guys to, with George Bush and company, to invest in uranium, because uranium was going to become the coveted strategic material after World War II for creating ICBMs and the whole missile intrigue with I.B. Hale and all that. So so we do look at things like Pepsi. I try to remember Richard Nixon's law firm represented Pepsi, I remember, after he got out of public service. So there was a strong Pepsi connection. And of course, it makes me think of bringing the Coke guy into, I can't even remember the guy's name now, it's been so long, with Steve Jobs. They brought in the Coke guy and to get rid of Steve Jobs because he was a thorn in their side at Apple because he wanted security on all these devices rather than a back door for NSA to be able to see all your email and so forth. So they brought in a Coke guy. So sugar water does play a big part of history with Alan Dulles and United Fruit and the whole, you know, cornering the commodity market. Also, sugar, of course, is the Bronfman's key ingredient in rum. The Cuban sugar was incredibly important to the Bronfman and bootlegging and the creation of the Chicago mob. So I do not want to sugarcoat the history of the United States here in any way. So we're going to lay it all bare for everyone. So while John was talking, I was looking to see if there was a Pepsi convention I was looking to see if there was a Pepsi convention in Plymouth that weekend, and I don't think there was, but they call them Pepsi Fests. But those are the types of things that people add, you know, to the mosaic of information. Somebody's going to come up with something that was happening, some federal meeting that was happening between FBI and Secret Service that was some kind of getaway this weekend in Plymouth. And you're going to place Rojak there, and you're going to place Cheadle there, and it's going to be a revelation. So this is where this is why I'm saying our citizen journalism forces their hand to now come up with alibis and excuses. Oh, I wanted to go to see the Mayflower. Oh, I wanted to go to see Pilgrim's Progress or what. There was a Pilgrim's calling event, and I don't know what a calling event is. I used to think it was a calling to see who survived over the winter so that they could load the ships up in Plymouth for the summer fishing season, but I don't know what actually the Plymouth calling is. But it did happen on March 2nd, so you could say, well, I was going to the calling event or whatever. Normally these things are, I'm not trying to make this into a Hollywood movie or a James Bond kind of plot or scene, but they do like to do these things around big public events. You may remember in Butler last week, we had all the police and fire snipers at the same time of the Trump sniping, right? I got these six Ukrainians around me that are, you know, involved on the Canadian team. Now, why are there six Ukrainians on the Ukrainian, on the Canadian team? It's the Can-Am sniper games, right? It should be Canadians and Americans. So why the six Ukrainians, right? So these are questions, you know, that we can ask. But again, you have a huge influx of people coming in, huge influx of people coming out. It's harder for law enforcement to pick the needle out of a haystack. Same thing with Picklefest. Remember Heinz, H.J. Heinz? I went by their headquarters last night. H.J. Heinz had the huge Picklefest, and you have a huge number of people coming in and a huge number of people coming out. Again, the Rojek, the special agent in charge, would know that, right? And you want to schedule these things just like assassins schedule their getaways during large parades and so forth. You see this in all the James Bond thing where the chase has to go through thousands of people on the street during Mardi Gras or whatever. You know, this is not just for the movies. It is actually for covert operations as well, unfortunately. So we'll leave it right there. The plot darkens here in Pittsburgh with the Trump murder conspiracy. It's no doubt it's a murder, and there's no doubt it's a conspiracy. We just don't know how high it goes, and we just don't know how dark it gets. Thank you for joining me this morning, and we'll have more for you. Oh boy, we've got a lot more for you today, both in shoe leather and also in presentations in terms of video with Peter Duke, and then a surprise guest here a little bit later this morning. Thank you.